Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Murase, Pastor. Pastor Murase.
I'm all right.
Great stuff. Great stuff. Good to have you here on board once again this afternoon. I hope your day's been fine.
Yeah, I've been busy, but it was all right.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Well, we're continuing on, you know, where we start, where we started from yesterday, and the focus of today's conversations around the Church of Christ is going to be centered on the mission of the church. You know, for instance, what reason does the church exist, and or how are we doing on that mission, etc., etc. So after this conversation, we would have at least understood those. But before we get into that, let's just recap on what we covered yesterday on the mission of the church.
Okay. Yesterday, you had asked the question, what is the mission of the church? And I remember I highlighted on the fact that the mission of the church zooms in on the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and preach. That was what Christ mandated his followers to do. And I also highlighted the fact that the same we find it in Revelation chapter 14, whereby an angel is said to have been flying in the midst of heaven with the everlasting gospel to be preached to all people. So that angel is symbolizing the people of God in the last days, who are supposed to carry the last message of warning to the whole world. So that is our mandate, that is our mainstay, that is our reason of existence.
And I love the fact that you're saying that is a core of our existence. Now, is the church fulfilling that mission? And if it does, in what ways is the church fulfilling that mission? Are you with us, Pastor? Pastor Mazorere? All right, it looks like... Did you hear my question?
You need to recap, but my network skipped a bit.
Yeah, I can hear the network is giving you a bit of trouble. Now, I'm saying that is the church fulfilling that mission? And if it does at all, it is fulfilling that mission, in what ways is it actually fulfilling that mission?
I would say yes to a certain extent. Why? Because I'm saying to a certain extent because the church is not yet fully fledged in fulfilling the mission, but we cannot really say the church is not fulfilling the mission.
Okay.
Because there are those who are being honest to the mission, and we're taking part in it. But should everyone else be engaged in this mission, we would see greater things than what we are seeing right now.
So I'm going to put it in Shona. What you are saying is that the church is half-half.
Yeah, maybe even 20 to 80.
Yeah, and I don't know, but it reminds me of a statement found in Revelation. I wish that you were, either hot or cold. And so it looks like indeed we are in the days of the Church of Laodicea. Now, what challenges are faced in fulfilling the mission?
Yeah, can you come again from now? My network skipped again.
What are the challenges faced in fulfilling the mission, and how can we overcome those challenges?
Okay. Yeah, definitely. I don't know how many categories I would put the challenges in. Let me just try to navigate ways. List them. Firstly, you discover that the very first main hindrance fulfillment of this mission is the believers themselves, the members of the church themselves. Either we are not interested or we are afraid of engaging in mission. That is the first hurdle. Because when you are dealing with a disinterested team, then don't expect any results. you'll discover that it's either as members, we are more focused on doing our own things or spending time doing some other things or spending our resources in those other areas. But rarely would you find members who are consistently engaged in making sure that they set aside time for God's mission. They set aside resources consistently for God's mission. It's very rare. For us, mission is an event whereby it's on the calendar. On the 23rd of January, we are distributing the Book of the End. That's it. It's not a lifestyle. So I would say the first hindrance to the accomplishment of this mission is us, the members themselves. Ourselves, they should include themselves as well.
I see. And that we should actually, make it a lifestyle instead.
Just a lifestyle. It can be an event, because that is why we are existing. So if you're existing for mission, then it can be a once in a quarter thing or once in a year thing. Hello?
Yeah. Now, yes, you mentioned that part, and please do tell us about other parts.
Okay. So that part is we are also living in a world which has become so difficult and indifferent to religious things. People are very skeptical, or they are no longer interested at all. The age of reason, the age of pragmatism, the age of, whatever it is, is resulted in a lot of people, especially the modern young people. They no longer think religion is something that should be taken seriously. So even regardless of how much effort you want to put to reach out to such groups, you discover that you're going to face some resistance that maybe 10 or 15 years ago you would not have expected to face. And we also have what areas that are known to be very difficult to penetrate. We're talking of areas that are now being dominated by Islam. We're talking of areas that are war-torn. It's war after war, another battle after. Now, you can't even think of ways of getting into such areas. Know very well that, yes, there are some countries where we need to close shop, we need to close offices and move out because, the places are now being ravaged by war. So there are a lot of things, if you put them together, that I would say are contributing towards, this snail pass movement or whatever, progression of mission.
All right. Interesting. Well, let's close it off. My pastor, your network is really not playing ball with us this afternoon. Why is the church referred to as the bride of Christ? What does that actually mean?
Oh, yeah. I think that one comes from surely Paul, both in Ephesians and in Corinthians. Where in Ephesians 5:25, I think, it says, "That's but you must love your wives just as Christ who loved the church and he even died for it, or he gave himself for it." But I think 2 Corinthians 7:2 is more profound. It says, "And jealousy for you with a godly jealousy because I've espoused you to one husband, and that's Jesus Christ himself. I've married you and betrothed you to one husband." So I think that's where we are getting the allegory whereby Paul likens the relationship of a husband and a wife to that of Christ and his church. So that could be the reason why the church is referred to as Christ's bride, the beloved bride of Christ.
I see. Well, my pastor, thank you so much for joining us. We do hope that tomorrow as we connect, we're going to be having a better network. But for today, I do want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
Blessings to you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.